Let us pray. Great God, we give thanks for your words, your inspiration to choirs and to us, and for the sightings of angels. Amen. So, do you know what are the first words angels say? Do not be afraid. Fear not. Now, if you think of the images that we usually hear or see of angels, that's a strange thing. We see pictures of cute little boy cherubs or pretty little girls, beautiful women in long flowing dresses. Just saying. The angels of the TV show, Touched by an Angel. Our culture's fascinated by angels. Angels with fairy wings and angels that look like dragonflies. Gail and I have both been shopping for angels. Gail was looking for an angel to hover over the stable, and I was looking for one for my house. But I wasn't really happy with most of the ones I found. I couldn't find any male angels. I found lots of angels in long, sparkly dresses. I found big, bosomy angels, couldn't possibly be male. Most of the angels I found looked like they were going to Cinderella's ball. I did find two black angels, but they looked remarkably like Kathleen Battle, the opera singer. This is time of year we see a lot of angels in TV shows. They're friendly, compassionate, soft-spoken, and physically beautiful. They're often more like fairy godmothers, and they often are pictured as having absolutely nothing to do with God. So I started looking back at Scripture, at the way angels are described in Scripture. Can we have the first picture there? And I found a very, very different image. The images in the Bible are not what we expect if our only image of angels comes from television. You may have heard that the word that the Bible uses for angel most often actually means messenger. That's true. But the messages are very often not the messages we wanted to hear. The angel choirs are sometimes loud and disturbing and unwelcome. They wake people up in the middle of the night. They aren't usually comforting, and they are almost always challenging. Angels come to call the people or a person, often to a frightening quest. This is a story, this is a picture of how angels came to Abraham and Sarah. They did just look like ordinary men, so Sarah laughed. But then, long after her child was born, another angel came to save her son, to say that we need not sacrifice our children, and to remind Abraham of the promise of God that his descendants would be more numerous than the stars in the sky. I like the story of the angels that came to Jonah. They told him to go on a long journey to tell people to be kind to one another, otherwise God might smite them. He didn't like those people, so he said no, in hopes that God would smite them. And so he ran away, and the angels chased him right into the belly of a whale until he agreed. I really do like that story. Can I have another slide, please? An angel came in the night and wrestled with Jacob so that Jacob limped all the rest of his life and took the name Israel, the one who wrestles with God. Sometimes angels come with swords of vengeance, another slide there, with warnings of God's anger and warnings of apocalypse. Sometimes they come incognito, like Sarah's. But all of these angels announce that there is going to be a journey, a spiritual journey, sometimes a literal journey that takes people into dangerous places. Seeing an angel or angels is a good reason, actually, to be afraid. Can I have the next slide? And the next one, please. Angels came to the prophet Isaiah, and this is Isaiah's description. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And they called to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, whose glory fills the whole earth." Isaiah was not pleased by this. In fact, he's terrified. "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King Yahweh, the Lord of hosts." And one of the seraphs flew and took a live coal from the altar and touched my mouth and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." What this is actually saying is no more excuses. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." The Old Testament is full of frightening encounters with angel and full of calls to prophecy. But by the time that Jesus was born, the people of Israel believed that the time of prophecy was over and that angels and prophets no longer spoke to the people. They did not expect any new revelations. They tried to live faithfully by ancient laws, to study and interpret the Torah. And from that tradition came rich stories and legends, the writings of rabbis over thousands of years, which are studies in wisdom and grace. But they thought that the revelation of God through angels and prophecy was done. And then the angels came again. An angel came to Zechariah and told him that he would have a son in his old age, a son who will prepare the way for the God on earth. Can I have the next slide, please? An angel came to Mary, and the first words Gabriel says to her are, "For you have found favor with God." Now, remember, when the angels come, we usually know they're sending us on a journey we don't really want to go on. The angel set Mary on a path of danger and joy, grief and wonder. She's told she will become pregnant before she's married. She will be the butt of jokes and cruel words. She sets out on a journey that takes her far from the expectations of her family and her home and comfort. She bears the child of God and undertakes both the wonder and the pain. And when the angel tells her this, after her first disbelief, she says, "Here I am, Lord. Let it be according to your will." The next slide. An angel comes to Joseph and asks him to set out on a journey which will literally take him far from home, far from the laws of his people, to marry a woman already pregnant. He will go far from the expectations of the carpenter in a small town on the edge of an empire. It will take him as a refugee to Egypt, to an adventure as a father which he had not expected. And when Joseph awoke from his dream of the angel, he too did as he'd been asked. Do you remember the picture we used for the Advent service? Angels with ragged wings and holy robes and work boots. Holy, not holy. An angel that sat down and had a cup of coffee with Mary and with compassion told her of the journey before her. Those hard-working angels know the hard road ahead, and still swoop with joy at the coming of the Christ child. The new age of prophecy is ushered in by angels visiting stone dwellings in a tiny village in the dark of night and asking a young couple to do the simplest and yet the greatest thing, to bear a child, to care for a child. They become two of the very first of the new prophets, and their response to God ushers in a whole new age of angels and prophecy. Not a pretty story of angels in long white dresses. It's a story of adventure and grief, friendship and danger. Above all, the angels call Mary and Joseph to a journey that needs a lot of courage. That's just one of the reasons angels will begin by saying, "Don't be afraid." Or sometimes, take heart, for your time has come. The new age of prophecy isn't an age of easy chairs and cozy fires. It is an age of storytelling and sharing, an age of questioning and confusion. It's a time when people in the midst of wilderness and exile turn to God for guidance. Can I have the next slide, please? Every year at this time, we celebrate that the angels came, and each year we are called to listen to the message once again. And each year we are called to the courage to say, "Here I am, send me." So I was touched by this picture. It's a wall of angels, people who have agreed to go and stand between Jim Phelps's hateful church and people at other events such as funerals. We too are called. Maya Angelou wrote a poem called "Touched by an Angel" that describes the courage we're called to and the love that makes it possible. She says, "We, unaccustomed to courage, exiles from delight, live coiled in shells of loneliness, until love leaves its high holy temple and comes into our sight to liberate us into life. Love arrives, and in its train come ecstasies, old memories of pleasure, ancient histories of pain. Yet if we are bold, love strikes away the chains of fear from our souls. We are weaned from our timidity in the flush of love's light. We dare to be brave. And suddenly we see that love costs all we are and will ever be. Yet it is only love which sets us free." All the earth waits for this story of love that we have to share. So let's keep on singing.